Hello and welcome to this episode of Saber Speaks. My name is Tom Lee. I'm the interim superintendent here in Sartell St. Stephen, and I am the host of this show. And today we have Megan Rugholt, our Director of Learning and Teaching, as our guest. Welcome, Megan.
Thanks for having me.
All right, so right now there's something really happening here, not just in our district, but in every district across the state of Minnesota, related to this most recent legislation called the READ Act. Can you tell us a little bit about what's going on?
Yes. So in our last legislative session, READ Act was a bill that was brought forward and discussed extensively with legislators about how to improve reading in our students across our public school systems. Mm-hmm. So from the READ Act came a lot of ideas and mandates for schools, one of which is training for all teachers in evidence-based literacy practices. Now, when I say all teachers, they have them in categorized into two waves. That first wave is really all of our elementary general education teachers and our preschool teachers and our K-12 special education teachers, our MTSS intervention teachers, our English language learner teachers, and anyone who is responsible for selecting reading curriculum or interventions for students.
So I would estimate that's almost half of all the staff here in Sartell St. Stephen's, for roughly 150. Because we have roughly about 300 staff.
Yep.
So now we're responsible to train them. Mm-hmm. The dates is that they either have to be trained by July 1st of 2025, or if you go with a specific training, letters, you get an extended year to July 1st, 2026.
Correct.
And my understanding is that there are only three options, right? And so it's Core OLA is option one for the training. Carry All is option two, and Letters is option three, and we've chosen Letters. Can you help us understand why?
Yes. So there were a lot of factors that went into the selection, but primarily we have practice with Letters. We have actually trained a number of our teachers already in this, and those teachers who have been through it, every one of them, I think, would tell you that it's the best professional development they've ever had. It's really changed their view on how they would teach reading, and they've seen the impact that it's had over this last year with the students that they're servicing.
In addition to that, Carry All actually isn't even done yet.
It's still in development.
It's in development. It's through the University of Minnesota. I'm sure it's going to be high quality, but we don't know that for a fact yet, and we can't see what it is.
Correct.
And no one's been through it before.
Right.
Core/OLA. So it used to be called Core, now it's called OLA.
Yep.
We don't know very many people or very many districts that have been through that either.
No.
So Letters seems to be identified as the highest quality, most reliable training, but it also requires the most number of hours.
It does. Yep. It's intense. It's an intensive program. It does require a lot of hours, but I think we're developing a plan right now that will ensure that our teachers can get that best program, as well as fitting it into our schedule. So we've got some ideas around that.
Right. And so we've already, we're in the first year of implementation of CKLA, Amplify CKLA, which would be Core Knowledge, Language Arts. We did have a podcast about that earlier in the year. And so that means roughly a quarter of our teachers have been trained in that. But all of next year, the rest of our teachers, K-5, will be trained in that.
Correct.
And so we have that as a priority. And we have this Letters training. And based on the requirements, because it's 140 hours of training for each teacher in Letters, correct?
Correct.
So now if we're allowed to put that over 2 years, that's roughly 70 hours a year, some of which they can do on their own, but others we want them doing in groups, right? And so that turned out, so we have a two-year plan. Tell us a little bit about that plan.
Yeah, so dividing this program up into, or this training up into 2 years, will allow us to really spread this out and allow our teachers to do this alongside their colleagues.
Yes.
So we felt that that was really important, that they're not doing it alone in isolation, but they're doing it with those that they're going to be implementing a new curriculum with, so they can really talk about how this applies to their students and meets their students' needs. Mm-hmm. We're going to try to get most of it done during our professional development hours, but also considering a possible change in our calendar for the next 2 years to allow some early release time, just scattered throughout the year, that allow our teachers to really complete this program within the two-year requirement.
Right. So we have 5 professional development days, roughly 7 hours a day, so that would be 35 hours. And then if we do 7 early outs next year, so our elementaries get done at 2:30, so if they get done at 12:30, that would give us 3 hours of training, given the fact that our teachers are actually under contract until 3:30.
Yes.
So that would give us the ability to get 21 additional hours in. Now, if we take all of our PD time, of our PD days, for CKLA, letters training, then we won't have time for CKLA. So,
right.
So the plan really is trying to take basically half of that day, or 3.5 hours a day times 5, so whatever that is. And then the additional time that's left over is time that they will have to read outside of their contract day on their own. Now, correct me if I'm wrong, but letters requires teachers to pass assessments along the way at 80% or higher, correct?
Correct, yep. Okay. If you were to be a facilitator for letters, you need to pass at a higher rate at 88%, and we're looking at training a few of our people who have already been through it to be facilitators so that this can really adapt to our timeline a little bit better. Mm-hmm. But then those who are just doing it as the teacher training need to pass at 80% in order to be letters certified.
So I want to be clear for our listening audience, parents and or our staff, and that is our current plan would be to ask the board to modify next year's calendar, because the board's already approved next year's calendar.
Correct.
And allow for 1 early out a month for 7 months.
Correct.
To give us that additional time. So
yeah,
that hopefully builds in the capacity for our staff both to do the letters training, but also to implement CKLA, because I'm not sure if our families understand the work that goes into the implementation of a new curriculum,
right?
But it's a fair amount of work, right?
It is a fair amount of work. It definitely is. And I think giving our teachers this time to do this together is really important. I mean, there's a lot of research out there that would show you that doing any training in isolation rarely allows for the implementation to be as great as it would had you worked alongside someone else. And we really want the best for our students. So we, while this is a mandated training and it's not something that we would necessarily put all of our teachers through in 1 year or 2 years at the same time, because it is a mandated training, it's speeding up our timeline a bit. So there is some good in that we are, you know, getting our teachers trained. It's just the timeline, and unfortunately, it's alongside with CKLA, presents some challenges.
Yeah.
But with some modification, we can definitely make this work.
So what does LETTERS stand for?
Yeah, it stands for Letter or Language Essentials for Teachers of Reading and Spelling. So it's LETRS.
Okay. Yeah, and I understand it really is quite outstanding training. The staff that I know who have gone through it said it's the best that they've ever had.
Yeah.
And it does both gives them the foundational knowledge they understand of how the brain learns to read, right? Because
and
I have had this conversation. Reading for the masses is only a few hundred years old.
It really is, yeah.
Right, because before that, it was meant for the aristocracy. It wasn't meant for the masses.
Right.
But, you know, with the printing press and and the Reformation, right, where everyone can read the Bible, you know, for themselves.
Right.
Right, that's where reading for the masses really started coming into play. And so so the brain isn't naturally wired.
It's not. It's wired to listen and comprehend and speak, but it's not wired to read.
Right. Mm-hmm. And so that background knowledge is essential for our staff. And then also, how can we, you know, be very purposeful and specific in that time when the brain can adapt and learn to read, right?
Yeah,
which
yeah.
is those younger ages. Well, that's great. So
yeah.
So again, just to reiterate, the only reason we are asking the board to alter next year's calendar, and probably the following year's as well, which has not been developed or board approved yet, that would include the 7 early outs, is because we have been mandated to get this training done. We are going with the absolute best training letters, and we're given 2 years to get that training done. Right. And so I know some families might be concerned, and we're currently working on plans that will help any concerns that might arise. Things like, oh, what am I going to do with my children, or whatever, and so on. Right. So we're working on that. We will have a plan to the board in early April for their workshop, hopefully to take a vote at their April regular meeting, which I think is April 15th. Okay. So, all right, so let's move on.
I'm going to add one thing to that, and that's that our new curriculum, CKLA, is aligned to the science of reading. And that's really what this letters training is all about, is science of reading. So we're now getting a foundational training in this great program, and that aligns to the research. And we also have the tools now with our curriculum to ensure that we're really servicing our students with the best.
Right. And I'm excited. I'm excited that that alignment already exists here in Sartell St. Stephen, because some districts don't have that, and they're now looking for a new curriculum. And so we have that. We've had a quarter of our staff trained in the implementation, because they've been going through it this year, and they will help us with the remainder of the staff next year. So I think the plan that was developed to implement over a couple of year period was really a solid plan, and it's going to be utilizing some of our own staff, the early adopters. And, you know, if our listening audience has been listening all year, they've heard at least 2 podcasts about CKLA.
Yeah.
Right. So, okay, moving on. So, right now we talk about these things called professional learning communities, or PLCs. You know, in education we have a lot of acronyms, and because we have them, we just throw them around and we just assume everybody knows what they are. But PLCs, as professional learning communities, it was developed in the late 90s by Richard and Becky DeFore, who were really in the forefront of helping improve outcomes for students. And the professional learning community probably is the best format and or structure to do that. And so what are the big ideas of the professional learning communities?
So PLCs are comprised of 3 big ideas. One being a focus on learning. So these are small groups of educators coming together to really talk about their practice, the data that they're collecting from assessments, how to change instruction to best meet the needs of their students. So the 3 big ideas around this are really just that those conversations stay focused on the learning.
And stop for a minute.
Mm-hmm.
Not teaching.
Correct. It's okay. On the learning.
It's about learning. It's not about teaching. Okay.
Correct.
What's the second one?
That they're focused on a collaborative culture and with collective responsibility. And the third is that they're results oriented.
Okay. So that, I know the PLC, the work asks 4 basic questions, right?
Right.
What is it that we want our kids to know and be able to do is question number 1.
Mm-hmm.
And that's where, you know, the state has all these standards for every grade level and every subject area. And honestly, there's no way any teacher in the state of Minnesota or in the world could teach all of those standards within the time frame given equally.
Correct.
So we've gone through the process of prioritizing those standards, right? And so by the end of this month, end of February, we will have published our curriculum guides for kindergarten through 5th grade, right? And that identifies which standards have been prioritized, or priority standards, and which ones are supporting standards.
Yes.
Correct? And so that's question number 1. What is it that we want our kids to know and be able to do? And we have to have agreement about that, because if you teach first grade and I teach first grade and we have different ideas, then we don't have what the research refers to as a guaranteed and viable curriculum, right?
That's right.
And so if we have agreed that, you know, X is a priority standard, then we're both working on X.
Mm-hmm.
That allows us to develop common assessments, which is how we find the answer to question 2, which is,
how will we know when students have learned?
Right. So we have common assessments. So you give the same assessment that I give, And now this is the work of the PLC. We come together and we work together. And I noticed that 90% of the kids actually met the goal in your class, and only 75% met it in my class. So now we're going to have conversations about what did you do?
Correct.
And now I can learn going, oh, I didn't think of it that way. I'm going to reapply. I'm going to apply my new learning about your practice into my practice, and hopefully I get different outcomes for my students.
That's it.
That's the work of the PLCs, right?
That is. Mm-hmm.
So question one is, what is it we want our kids to know and be able to do? Question two is, how do we know that they know it?
Mm-hmm.
And that's our assessment practices, and we are in the process of developing common assessments. Question three is?
Well, what will we do when students have not learned?
Right.
Mm-hmm.
So because in every scenario, kids learn at different rates,
yeah,
right?
Right.
And right now in our school system, time is a constant. It's not a variable.
Yeah.
And if anyone was to think about it, it's like, well, it makes sense. How do we make time a variable,
mm-hmm.
right? So maybe it means that I need to do what we refer to as a tier two intervention inside my classroom,
mm-hmm.
right? So, these five kids have got the concepts. These three don't. So now they get extra time with me mm-hmm. in a small group, right?
Exactly.
To reteach and to go over and to see if we can't give them some more time to grasp the concepts.
Yep, that's it.
Mm-hmm. Right?
Yep.
And we also have MTSS, which is, what is MTSS?
Multi-tiered systems of support.
Correct. So that would be our intervention teachers.
Yep. And it can happen in the classroom too.
Yep.
So anything that's beyond the core instruction that needs additional instruction or support is considered part of our MTSS system. Well, even core instruction is part of our MTSS system.
Yep.
But moving into tier two is just that extra level of instruction to support those students who maybe just didn't get it quite right the first time.
Right. So those are the things that we're doing for kids when they don't get it, right?
Yeah.
And so, that's also an important question. And question four is?
Well, what do we do with those students who already have learned it? Because that's often the case in our classrooms is we have students that struggle a little bit to master certain standards or skills, and then we have those who master it right away and need something beyond just the regular core instruction. So we support all learners in our classrooms, those that need extra and those that need extra support or extra instruction, and those that need extra beyond the core because they've already mastered the content.
Right, so tying this back into the big ideas, it's focus on learning, not mm-hmm. teaching. So
yep.
as we, in a collaborative culture, so the PLC itself is collaborative.
Yes.
And so our team of teachers, of let's say first grade teachers, let's say we have 12 sections,
mm-hmm.
right? So we all agree to teach this unit and these main concepts. We bring our data back from our common assessments.
Mm-hmm.
We find, somebody was more successful in this concept than that concept. What did you do differently? It might have been in their core instruction. It might have been in their tier two interventions.
Mm-hmm.
It might have been also for the kids who knew at the moment we spoke it that they provided extensions inside the classroom, not just with another teacher.
Yeah.
And so that's the whole concept, right? Focus on learning in a collaborative culture, focus on results.
Right.
And those results come from our common assessments.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's the work PLCs are doing. Sometimes it's a mystery to families. It's like, well, they have PLC time. Well, what does that mean?
Yes.
And so we wanted just to bring that out so it becomes clearer for our listening audience.
Mm-hmm.
Are there any other things that we want to say about PLCs, the READ Act, or do we have any other thoughts
forward? We've captured it pretty well there. You summed it up nicely.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Well, we have ongoing work, right?
Mm-hmm. We do.
And the ongoing work, the research basically talks about what is effective professional development, and the research is clear. It's ongoing and it's job embedded.
Yep.
Right, so if we bring in some speaker that wants to talk about some woohoo,
mm-hmm.
it just doesn't work.
It doesn't make
an impact. And that's what we're trying to accomplish through our professional development days, through the potential of gaining some early out days for mm-hmm. the next couple of years, one a month, that's only one a month,
mm-hmm.
But also through our our PLC work, right?
Right.
And so this is the work that we're being done. Because, like, let's be honest, sometimes we hear, as educators, we hear, are you guys ever in school?
Yeah.
Right? Well, we have a need to continue to develop our staff. Mm-hmm. And these are some of the tools that we use.
Yeah.
And we want to make sure that we develop our staff to the highest levels possible.
Right.
Right.
And so that does require a lot of time. And we're doing really good things here. And I think even with what we've talked about today with CKLA and its connection to Science of Reading and READ Act and the training that we're going to do with letters and then again with PLCs, it's all connected work. We're not doing any of this work in isolation. It's all coming to a better outcome for students.
Mm-hmm. Well, and let's be honest, PLC work is relatively new here in Sartell St. Stephen.
It is.
Right? Although it was founded in the work of the DeFores from the late 90s, mm-hmm. it's new here.
It is.
And so how do you conduct a PLC? Mm-hmm. How do you establish norms? How do we go about, what are the activities and how do we go about it? Mm-hmm. You know, I'm familiar with it from several past lives, both in mm-hmm. Bloomington and Waseca, but we have to remember it's new. And
right. Yep.
And we are also in the process of monitoring our PLCs and trying to gauge where they're at in their functioning by that developed rubric that we did. And so
yes.
we're having them do a self-evaluation rubric and we're checking in on them and we want them to be as highly effective as possible.
Yep.
Well, I guess we've reached the end of our time. Thank you so much.
Yeah, this was fun.
I got to tell you, I've really enjoyed working with you. I love the conversations that we have. And,
me too, Tom. You know, I'm going to miss it.
I'm looking at the board behind you. It's a three-year outline of our staff development for our staff for the next 3 years.
Yeah.
It's pretty overwhelming. But I think I'm excited to see what's going to happen with kids.
Yeah.
And the outcomes for kids in the next few years. So
yeah, we have a clear direction and purpose. So it's fun. It's good work.
Yep. Thanks for all your efforts. Yesterday's meeting, you're doing great work here.
I appreciate
leading
it.
This effort, and I appreciate it. And for our listening audience, thanks for joining us. And we'll see you next time here on Saber Speaks.